Thanks for choosing to listen to the sermon from Pastor Kim Beckman and Evanston's Emmanuel Lutheran Church. This sermon is from Sunday, May 17th, 2020. At Emmanuel Lutheran Church, we welcome people of every age and size, color and culture, every sexual orientation and gender identity, socioeconomic status, every ability and challenge. We welcome believers and questioners and questioning believers. In this time of social isolation, you can join our online Zoom services every Sunday morning from your computer or your smart device at 10:30 a.m. Find the link to our service at emmanuelevanston.org/events. And now here's this week's sermon from our interim pastor, Kim Beckman.
Grace to you and peace from God and from our Savior, who is Jesus the Christ. Amen. I was wondering if any of you caught the Blue Angel flyover this week. Anybody? Okay, I see a little bit out there. I just happened to turn on the TV and I saw nurses and doctors and technicians and caregivers and staffers standing outside their healing centers with their masks on and looking up. I heard the broadcaster saying, "They're circling the lakefront and are headed to the northwest, flying over Logan Square." So I ran outside. I called out to my other neighbors around and said, "Did I miss them?" And no, they shouted, "They're coming back around." So I sat for a moment, looked up at the empty sky where I've waited every other year for them to come screaming over in the air and water show. My landlady came out a little dazed and confused when I told her I was hoping to catch the Blue Angel flyover. "Isn't it just a little bit early for that?" she said. "Don't they come, you know, like later?" Time may be blurry for a lot of us right now. My husband came running up the stairs, and just then, there they were. It was a literal flash of glory. Close enough to see the colors and the insignia and the wing and the contrails, and then they were gone. I was surprised at the tears suddenly hot and stinging. Fred said, "I know. For me, it was when I saw all our healers come out, looking up, blinking into the sun over their masks." You may have had some of those kinds of moments too. At odd times, maybe a kind of grief over the strangeness and the unknown of both the present and the future. I already had it this morning when we couldn't get on our meeting the way we normally had. Jesus' ascension into heaven, celebrated on the 40th day of Easter this Thursday, and for us next Sunday, always gets me just a little teary this way too. The disciples who had been through it all, ministry, Jesus healing miracles, the terrifying pain of crucifixion, the empty tomb, the risen Christ then walking through walls, showing them wounds and scars, and now standing, gazing up into heaven as Jesus' feet disappear into the cloud, the glory and the meaning and the mystery of resurrection, new life, and all the enormity just suddenly hitting them. And in that split second of Jesus' last footfall on earth, the disciples experienced the utter bereftness of a motherless child. The sudden rush of tears and all that feels lost about the fullness of their life together. The bereftness of one who has no parent, caregiver, guardian. Their eyes well, even as they check themselves, as they look around and they realize they still have each other, the community. Jesus says, "I will not leave you orphaned." In other years, I've reached maybe a little too early to relief, to the reassurance it's going to be all right. And it is going to be all right. Jesus is coming to us. And it is Easter, after all, the month of May, joy and life and spring, weeping, if not rain, be gone. But on what? The 60th day of stay at home? After another kind of tough week of disheartening, heavy, but then also seesawing news about how long this virus might be with us, amid some reopening and spring weather and a lot of happy talk that doesn't seem always to match up, the part that leaps out at me from our gospel this year is the orphaned part, that Jesus knows and names the grief and loss we'll experience in this way. This farewell discourse, Jesus' words to his disciples, words he knows they'll need to store away for their future, comes long before they get to the mountaintop of his ascension glory. Jesus tells them these things before Palm Sunday, before the last time they're together physically as Jesus' followers for the meal, before the terror of the cross, before those raw, surreal days of incomprehension in an empty tomb, and conflicting news reports about where Jesus' body may actually be. Jesus tells them this before, in their disorientation, they run into a stranger with whom they lament the dashing of their hopes and their plans and all their expectations on that Emmaus road. Before, when you got to walk on the road next to a stranger and talk without a mask on, or just get up and come to church, and Jesus breaks the bread. Jesus looks today with compassion on the disciples uneasy about the talk of suffering and sacrifice for the sake of the neighbor and the sake of gospel truth, appalled at the cross Jesus is holding up in front of them, unable to fathom what changes it might mean or bear this grief in advance. Probably like most of us, there are first reactions and a time we come to grips, and these things don't happen for us in a straight line either. Jesus, human like us, knows and understands we can only bear what we can bear. That when we are held, when we are able, when it's safe for us in our psyches, there comes a time we can acknowledge our losses and our fears and our wounds. Jesus is God, knows that there is life ahead, and holds us and tells us, because I live, you also will live. Jesus tells us this ahead because he knows that we're going to come to a point where, like the disciples, we may feel lost, where life and discipleship isn't the same as it was. You know, we never have to go looking for the cross and its pain and suffering. It comes to us as part of our human existence that Jesus, human like us, knows but can't shield us from. But also Jesus, God like God, knows the way and invites us to follow him through toward healing and life for us and for our vulnerable neighbor. We're going to go through fire and water. Heavy burdens may be laid on our backs, even as we remain beloved of God and the body of Christ. We may or may not be feeling that kind of heaviness right now, or we may be too harried to absorb or bear it. We may find ourselves in these days just, you know, kind of vaguely irritated, so ready to be over it, or feeling like, you know, life is fine, or would be if everyone would just get back to normal. But Jesus knows that if not this minute, sometime, we are going to feel it. So it is for that moment that Jesus wants us to know that he knows what it feels like to have no comfort, grieving our lost sense of self among others, our sense of time, our sense of safety, and the comfort of familiar rhythms. Because Jesus knows there is this life ahead. Jesus stores up for us healing, reassurance, and restorative promise. We can name the this and we can lament because Jesus holds us in the words, because I live, you also will live. The risen Christ stands before us today with the wounds, and we'll have them too. We won't come out of any of this unscathed exactly. But Jesus will raise us up and raise this congregation up to new life nevertheless. Millennia before Jesus tells us this, our psalmist reaches out from the tradition of Jesus and our ancestors of old with the truth of human suffering and with God's help. Come and listen, all who believe, and I will tell you what God has done for me. I called out to God with my mouth in my suffering, and I praised God with my tongue. God has heard me, attended to the sound of my prayer, and has not withheld love from me. God has brought us out to a time and a place of refreshment, and we are able to enter God's house for worship. Blessed be God! Today, in our service for healing, we follow a well-worn path of the faithful. This dynamic of both letting ourselves feel our deep need, wailing it, and raising ourselves and one another up with the reminders and remembrance of God's mercy to us in the past. Our trust in God's healing mercy and resurrection brings us to the future that God holds for us and assures us with. Jesus promises a comforter in the coming spirit of life, not illusory hopes, but the spirit of truth. We grasp it now and we lean hard into this future, and we let it uphold us when we are in the weary days, when we can't always tell whether it's 6 p.m. and night is still coming, or 6 a.m. when God's new day is breaking. Jesus speaks to us in this future present voice. We are comforted. We are not left orphaned. And we make our laments and we receive our healing. We end in praise and glory. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon from Pastor Kim Beckman and Evanston's Emmanuel Lutheran Church. And again, we welcome you to join our weekly online services each Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Go to emmanuelevanston.org/events. And thanks for listening.